So, Jed, you're going to have to bear with me. I had a tooth extracted 2 days ago, so the mouth is a little bit tender.
Okay. That makes sense. People care. John, people want to know. But what is this going to do for us? How does this make things different for us?
You're going to have to carry the load.
Okay. Like I haven't been doing that already. Like I haven't been dropping loads all over the place, John.
Well, I kind of teed that one right up there for you.
Look, I appreciate the use of the word load. I think it's underutilized in society today.
So many different ways to interpret the word.
Hey, did I tell you I went to a Mets game recently?
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Not during the All-Star break because...
There was none.
It might have been a better game. But, yeah, here's the thing. You remember how you and I have sort of kind of gone back and forth on this this netting thing?
Yes.
They extended the netting at Citi Field. And I'm going to tell you right now, John, I am vehemently opposed.
Good.
And hey, look, not because it obstructed my view or because it did or didn't protect people from foul balls. Mr. Met was unable to provide a launch angle with the t-shirt gun to get to my section.
So it blocked the opportunity.
Yes, they couldn't get the angle right because of the netting. So we didn't get anything. So all they could do is sort of fire it straight up in the air and let it land in the rich seats. Great.
Oh,
great.
Nice.
Not only are they protected from foul balls, that was the whole point of living in the rich seats. Is like, well, at least if you're up higher, like, well, maybe one of those rich people will get killed by a foul ball. You know, that's part of the game. That's part of the joy of sitting in the nosebleeders. Is like, well, I'm not going to get killed by a foul ball, but maybe that guy with season tickets, you know, who's a lawyer who's been screwing people out of money for the last three decades, maybe that guy's going to get hit by a foul ball and have permanent brain damage. That's part of the fun of going to a baseball game.
Mm-hmm. It's going to see the car wrecks, right?
Yes, exactly. So this netting, they couldn't get the launch angle, but they go down further. So the even worse seats, yeah, they're able to launch into the upper deck with it.
Well, so they go further down the line.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm outraged, John.
You're going to write a letter?
You know what? I might send an email just to myself.
Yeah. Kind so of this a diary is episode, entry. This is episode 72 of Foul Territory.
Okay.
I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Carlton Fisk episode.
Sweet.
He of the White Sox variety. So 27 on the Red Sox, 72 on the White Sox. Very clever by Mr. Fisk.
Yes. Well, clever for our purposes anyway.
Right, for us, yeah.
Not really clever at the time.
Because I do believe he's been used twice. Well, I don't know if we were doing the monikers back then, so probably not.
Also, 27, that's like Mike Trout. Like,
yeah,
we're not going to do 27. We're not going to do Carlton Fisk.
Speaking of Mike Trout, we got something to talk about him later.
Yes, All-Star Mike Trout.
All-Star Mike Trout, yeah. So let's start off before we get into that brouhaha with a little bit of banter about the ball game, the old All-Star game.
Yes, it was one of these. It was the two kinds of baseball games that you love, John. It was a pitcher's duel for the first, what, seven innings.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into a barn burner.
Yeah, yeah.
The two kinds of games you love in
and
one.
And after Segura hit the home run, I'm like, yeah, this game's over. I'm going to go out to get some dinner because, you know, on the West Coast, it's a little bit earlier.
Right.
So I leave and came back and missed all the action.
Yes, it got a little sloppy there at the end. And I will say, really tough call for the Dodgers fans to see Alex Bregman hitting a home run off of Ross Stripling. Like, as if they didn't get enough of that last World Series.
So Stripling got spanked pretty hard.
Yeah. He's one of those guys, though, I don't know how he's being as good as he is. He is. The numbers back it up. But it just feels like any day now, he could go back to being Ross Stripling. I mean, that name, like, how can you think that, like, Madison Bumgarner, that sounds like someone who's going to be a great ball player.
Right.
Right? Clayton Kershaw. Right?
Ross Stripling.
Like, Ross, can you get us some more towels? Feel like he's more like a assistant trainer or something.
Right. He's a clubhouse attendant.
But maybe he just gets that blow up out of his system. Remember Gagne when he was doing that 84 game save streak where he saved 84 games in a row She'll never be beaten again.
Steroids.
He showed up in the All-Star game and got clobbered in the All-Star game amidst all that, but it doesn't count on the streak.
Right.
So maybe just got it out of his system.
Yeah, because everybody's there having fun anyway.
Yeah.
Except for Josh Hader.
Well, yes.
We'll get to that in many ways.
Yes. Josh Hader, who also gave up, uncharacteristically gave up runs.
The one thing that I liked about this All-Star game, it's a loose game anyway, but what Fox did to interact with the players, that's kind of like what you and I have been saying. Make it fun. Make baseball fun. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I had no real opinion about it. That's my hot take.
Wow.
Look, they can't all be pearls, John. I can't have an opinion about everything.
So, good game. Yeah, unfortunately, I missed the last two innings, but, that happens.
Well, you missed the second game within the game.
Yeah, and I've never been a huge fan of the All-Star game. It's more a matter of, to me, like we've talked about a couple weeks ago, the home run derby is more engaging.
Right.
And that was awesome.
The home run derby this year was out of sight, especially when it came to light that Bryce Harper and his dad were doing a little cheating out there.
What were they doing?
So the rule is you can't throw the next pitch until the ball has landed. The previous ball has landed wherever it's going to land.
Right.
So what they were doing was pitch, hit the ball. Doesn't matter where it lands. Here's another pitch.
But they had the umpire standing right out there behind the batter. So
The umpire's going to, what's he going to do?
No, because he was stopped, and Harper wasn't the only one that was doing that. Other ones were doing it as well.
I'm not saying no one else was doing it. I'm saying that the winner of the tournament did it.
Conspiracy theories.
I'm just saying his dad's kind of a red ass. He's kind of a red ass. They
but
start
that,
cheating.
His
remember,
dad's
I don't
beard.
Know if you watched,
How about
but
that beard.
His, that was robust.
That was amazing. Light does not hit that guy's face with that beard.
I feel like it's that impossible. Guy's trolling for younger chicks. I feel like that's Bryce Harper's dad's situation.
Yeah, it kind of looks
just that
weird.
Look was like, that doesn't seem like a happily married guy. That looks like someone who's out looking for chicks. Like, hey, my son is Bryce Harper. Would you like to have sex with me?
Did you watch the red carpet thing?
No.
I have never watched it, but I just saw some highlights. And a lot of bling and a lot of, chest hair and lack of chest hair with Manny Machado. Machado. I'm going to get that right at some point.
You probably won't, John.
It's one of those things. Bugs me.
Well, now that he's finally been traded, we don't have to worry about saying his name very much.
Yeah, because he's just going to be part of a Dodger, steamroller going to the playoffs.
Okay, well, then maybe we will have to say his name.
He'll be one of many, though, as opposed to the only one in the Orioles that we're talking about.
That's a good point. So, yeah, it will be diluted somewhat.
And that was interesting, too. During the game, the rumors were flying that the deal had been done. And they're talking to Matt Kemp. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he and Machado are buddies. So that was one of those things. They're like, are you guys, the way that you're talking and hanging out before the game, is that any indicator? And he's like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, so officially, as an official Foul Territory headline, Manny Machado was traded from the Orioles to the Dodgers for, I will say, the best haul for this type of player that's, I don't want to say ever, because the Gleyber Torres for Chapman is the best ever. For a half-season rental of a player, I will say this is the second best haul for a half-season rental of a player in the history of the last, 15 years. I don't want to say a history of ever because...
Right, and they have a player who's going to play next year because he's got nobody blocking him.
Yeah, so they got Yusnel Diaz, who's a Cuban player, who was a little injured here and there, but really this year, super taking off in the minors, the Dodgers double-A team, hitting for average, getting on base, hardly ever striking out, starting to find a little power, hit two home runs in the Futures game.
Yeah, that was
on Sunday.
A lot of home runs in that game, too. Was there eight,
yeah, that
eight
went
home runs,
crazy.
Something like that?
Yeah. And, great trade for the Orioles. They got a couple other lottery tickets as well, and... a better player, I thought, than they would get. But, the Dodgers have a deep farm system and were able to make that trade. And I don't think the trade really improves them that much because I think it actually makes them a little weaker defensively at short, as we've discussed before. But now I mean, this is a stacked team. Yeah. And you also keep him away from the Brewers and the Diamondbacks and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the Phillies. And these are all National League competitors who would have benefited from having him on their team.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's part of the value of the move. And it would be interesting to see if they wind up keeping him, right? Like, they have the
yeah.
money.
Yeah.
Like, move him to, you know, Seager comes back, move Machado to third, Justin Turner to second. He could probably play second, right? The way second base has sort of evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just trade Justin Turner. Who cares? Get rid of the gingers.
Well, Dan Duquette had the profound statement that the Orioles are officially in rebuild mode.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for that. Cleared that up for us.
That's like when those players retire after like 3 years. It's like,
well, he also
I'm
said
officially
too,
retiring.
He also said, too, that going the reason why they didn't trade him during the offseason is because they thought they were going to be competitive this year.
You see, I don't think you should say stuff like that, because even if you're saying it just to say it,
yeah, it's
like
not, it's
only
stupid.
Comes across Dumbo.
Yeah,
it's so stupid.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, well, we thought we were going to be in it. We thought we were going to be in the hunt. But we were just totally let down by how bad our team really is. Well, we'll see what happens next with the Orioles, the emergence of the, and there will be another, you know, the Tampa Bay, another team. Are they going to trade Chris Archer? Are they in official strip down mode? They've been playing
it's
awesome.
So weird, right?
But
they have a winning record, John.
Yeah, yeah.
If they were in the National League, they'd be like two games out of the wild card.
right. Yeah, but it's a. It, you know, are they going to pull the plug and start all over?
They got a lot of plugs they could pull. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's tradable assets there.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Brad Hand, that was the other big trade before the break resumed.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to the Indians.
Right, and now he's under team control for his contract, I think, is for 3 more years. This is a mm-hmm. great trade for the Indians. And they did give up a top 10 prospect. We had an article up on the site by, who's that, the writer?
Randall Stevens.
Randall.
Yeah.
Yeah, Randall Stevens wrote an article about, you know, who else is going to be traded now, and he had Brad Hand on there, and he was talking about how some of the other relievers out there, you're going to get an okay return, but Brad Hand was the one guy where you're looking at like a Gleyber Torres, mm-hmm. Clint Frazier type return that the Yankees got for Chapman and Andrew mm-hmm. Miller a couple mm-hmm. years ago. And they did. They got a top 10 catching prospect, Francisco Mejia.
They've given up on Austin Hedges, the great, soon to be great, not great Austin Hedges.
I mean, Mejia is still a year away, so Hedges can still do
bounce
something.
Back.
And then, I mean, the Padres are
They're
seem
stacked.
Very willing to just dump people in the outfield, which is an awesome idea with a giant outfield like they have.
Right. It's too bad.
Why would you need an athletic
four.
Person out there?
right.
If they could have a DH, they'd be
yeah.
set.
Yeah.
Don't they have a Naylor too coming up,
oh,
right?
He's got a ton of
Yeah, Josh Naylor turned things around and
yeah. They're going to be a contender in 3 years. They will be
yeah.
a good team. If they don't implode. If AJ
yeah,
Preller
plus
doesn't
Tatis.
Start making crazy trades.
I mean, they just have to have the players get better. I mean, I think the Eric Hosmer trade signing just looks so bad now.
Yeah, cuz he's going to be on the decline once they're good and they really
yeah.
he's going to be an obstacle most likely.
Yeah, he'll be an albatross. Like how,
yeah.
no one's going to want to trade for that contract.
No.
And then they're going to have this contract. And like
but that team chemistry
I still just
thing.
Don't think it makes sense. I just still think it doesn't make sense at that trade, but whatever. We can't go back in time. There's no time machines, right?
No.
We can't go into a wormhole or into the black hole and then go back through the bookcase, right? And
right.
Teleport ourselves into the fifth dimension, like in Interstellar.
Interstellar, yeah, I got it. I was picking
then,
up on that right away.
Yeah, and then like enter in Morse code onto AJ Preller's watch and be like, don't sign Eric Hosmer.
So one of your favorite managers got axed.
Yes. Maybe the worst manager in baseball.
Despite the record, the nice record.
Despite the record,
yeah.
very solid record. I think that was why it was hard for them to cut him. But Mike Matheny finally got the chop by the Cardinals. Obviously, everyone, maybe not everyone knows, but he is well regarded as a bad manager. maybe not well regarded.
And it caught
I'm trying
up
to be
him.
Funny with words. It's yeah, and I think that you know he has trouble with bullpens. I've seen him leave starting pitchers out too long, which is a problem with the sort of old school manager mm-hmm. style, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, let him just work through it. And it's like, okay, well, you just gave up five more runs, so you can't win now. So you have all these relievers. Use them. Apparently there was some locker room drama going on, too, between Bud Norris and Jordan Hicks. And maybe that was the last straw.
Abuse. Rookie abuse.
Yeah, rookie abuse.
To an extreme, and, apparently. And Matheny backed him up.
Yeah, and what's weird about it is, like, wait, Bud Norris isn't just, like, sitting quietly thanking God that he has still has the opportunity to play baseball? This guy was out of baseball. Mm-hmm. This guy was washed up and still is hanging around. Like, why are you being a red ass? So, like, this guy's Bryce Harper. Of course, Bryce Harper's not exactly having a great year. But anyway. But, yeah, Bud Norris was riding the rookie Jordan Hicks, and Matheny was like, yeah, this is how you do baseball. Like, no, it isn't, man. This is 2018. Open your eyes. He needs a safe space. All the snowflakes need their safe spaces, John. I'm totally on the side of Jordan Hicks, by the way. I think all that rookie veteran stuff,
the extreme stuff,
is just garbage. I think, you know, a little hazing, a little fun. Well, you know, hey, welcome to the new guy. That stuff's awesome.
Yeah.
But when it gets beyond that, and it's like, yeah, all right.
It's happened. It's been happening for decades. But today's world, social media, exposure, you can see everything that's happening except for inside the clubhouse. Yeah, you know, it's out there. You know, the things that are going on, it's just out there. It's a culture thing, too. You know, it's been a part of the game, and now it may have to change because we're super sensitive to everything.
But don't you think that if you're Bud Norris, you should be thinking, right? You should be a little bit more like, I don't want to screw anything up here.
Yeah, I'm going to sit tight. Now that this is blown up a little bit, I'm going to be a little bit quiet now.
Well, you know, he's got this mystery injury now, right?
Oh,
his finger hurts. Be interesting to see how that plays out.
Look at how many people went on the DL, though, going into the break, just so that it can bring up people to play in the games beforehand, which makes sense. They're just taking advantage of the rule, and that's fine. That's good. All well. One thing that I wanted to ask you about is there's new chatter that if Bryce Harper continues to decline over the next week and a half, not Harper specifically, but the Nationals, is he a trade chip? Is there a chance?
I mean, let's say that over the next week and a half, they lose, what's that going to be, like 8 or 9 games? Let's say they lose six or seven games, and that puts them 4 games under 500 or 3 games under 500. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that team can sell, can it? Like,
it would be hard if it sells, to do. But I think they could. Yeah. They, in all honesty, what they would get back in return, it's kind of like with the Yankees. It's like, we'll take a pause. You know, we'll probably still get really close to the hunt, but we'll be much better next year. And they'll get something for them.
But the thing is, when the Yankees did that, it was like, well, we've won 843 championships.
Right, that's true.
And we've had a little bit of a down spell, and we're going to try something a little different. The Nationals have been like, oh, we're so close. And they have been. They've been so close. Right. They've been almost good enough to win a World Series. You know,
but they're going to have everybody back. This will be the first time all season that everybody's back. So Murphy coming back now was the first piece, and now
Zimmerman is still out, though, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
But the Mark Reynolds, Matt Adams,
but Strasburg will be back.
Whatever, like platoon at first base is solid. Strasburg's coming back. He starts tonight. Yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, you can't trade Strasburg because you got him a long deal. But what if you traded? What if you just said, you know what, that's it, and you just traded like Gio Gonzalez and Bryce Harper? I guess that would pretty much be it, right?
They would get a decent return, and you know that people would be salivating to get a chance at Harper. And if I'm a Nationals fan, I'm like, I'm okay with that because he really hasn't been.
And then what if you traded Sean Doolittle because you have Kelvin Herrera?
Sure.
I mean, you could kind of get yourself into the top five farm systems. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that the team itself has the foundation.
Intestinal fortitude to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just to pull that move and just be like, you know what? This isn't the year, but we're going to make next year the year. And we've got Juan Soto, and we've got Victor Robles, and we've got Trey Turner, and we've got...
They have an awesome team. Anthony Rendon. But I think that if they make those trades now, they're going to get four or five good players.
Yeah.
You know?
No, listen. I agree. I agree. You know, you trade, I guess you can't really trade Murphy until he's
Well, here's the thing,
really
though, is
back.
That they still think, I think, that the Nationals think they have a shot at re-signing Harper.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think they want him.
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, like, you have to say that you want him, but, like, I don't think they're going to make any sort of, like, real move to keep him.
Well, especially with his stats as low as they are, they could probably.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's so you're just signing him because of his personality?
No. Because he's such a good clubhouse.
Right? Like, I don't know. And you know what? Probably the Nationals are better to just let him go, you know, at the end of the year. Like, I don't think they wind up trading him. I don't think they'd wind up trading anyone. I think even if they lose 7 out of 9, I just think they just hang on and hope things get better.
To be continued.
Yep.
We'll know in a few weeks.
Speaking of the best player in baseball.
Yeah, this was just came so weird. That
Rob Manfred is a weird dude, the commissioner of baseball. He says some weird stuff.
It's like, why isn't our best player doing more to line our pockets? What's up with that?
Right, so he comes out and he basically criticizes Mike Trout. Like, not like, you know, in a terrible way, but sort of like in a backhanded sort of thing that says that Mike Trout is not doing enough to promote himself as a superstar.
If he wanted to do more, we'd help
like
him.
First, yeah, like first really? Of all, the guy's in Anaheim, all right?
Right, he's not right.
They're like the fourth biggest attraction in Anaheim. So they're already behind, okay? Mm-hmm. He's going to be with them for a while, fine. But the fact is that he's just totally awesome, and that's not enough in the sports world to become, you know, super famous.
Well, I think the issue, though, is that and this is the part that bothers me, is that baseball is seeing what the NFL and NBA are doing to market their players as individuals, right, and the revenue that it brings in is unbelievable.
Right.
And you don't have that kind of superstar in baseball that's out front right now and doing. The superstars in baseball aren't as vocal as they are in other sports. So right. I think he's saying, like, our number one player in the history of baseball is with us right now. And we could be making a lot more money off of him. So, you know, and he even went so deep as to talk about his hobbies, you know, and if he likes to do those things, that's okay. It's like, really? It is. It's his life. He doesn't owe you anything.
Yeah.
I find that very, very strange.
The weird stuff that comes out of Manfred's mouth is just, I don't know. Maybe he's trying to do like a thing. Like, he's like, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll create a drama between the commissioner and the best player. And then we'll see how that plays out on TMZ and on the Twitters and on the Facebooks and see if we can get people riled up. And like, no one's going to care. It's just going to be like some dopey thing that some dope says. And then the Angels came out and they were like, we think Mike Trout is a great player. Excuse us while we have the greatest player in the sport right now.
Right.
Like, all right.
Yeah. This is all dumb. Trout took the high road too. So as far as I'm concerned, it's behind us. I'm not going to talk about it. Done deal, which is great. Awesome. Yeah.
Which is great, except then what's the point of creating the drama? Let's let it play out for the rest of the season.
For us. Give us something to talk
about.
Yeah, you got
about. Half the Angels team is on the disabled list. Let's have some fun. Real Housewives of Anaheim, of Orange County. Oh, my God, there we
you
have
go.
It.
It's there, right? Speaking of social media firestorms, Josh Hader needs to undergo sensitivity training after some of the offensive tweets were just magically discovered, just unearthed during the All-Star game. Minutes after he blew up on the mound, someone's posting stuff about, hey, look at all these tweets about Josh Hader. And they're pretty vile.
No, they're awful. And they're homophobic and they're racist and
misogynistic.
They're from 8 years ago or something like that, 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So look, hey, fine. All right, he's going to do some sensitivity training and participate in diversity and inclusion initiatives. And maybe he was just a kid, you know, and like, I'm not saying that kids can do whatever they want, but kids have a learning process.
Right.
And he's a teenager, high teens, granted.
Yeah, 17
writing garbage
years old.
On the internet. And you know what I mean? Like,
you know, I'm not defending it at all, but you know, when someone's 17 years old, are they thinking about I'm going to be a you know in 7 years starting on or relieving on the All-Star team?
Right.
One of the
now,
best relievers
the,
in baseball.
Here's the real failure here, John. As soon as this guy signs with an agent,
wipe the slate.
The agent should have a social media person,
right?
That is their specialty is just helping someone create a social media presence, and the very first thing they do is just go back to the beginning of all their tweets and their retweets and their at replies and their Facebook posts, and they just go through everyone,
scrub it,
and they're just like, "Hey, this one about black people, that's not good." Okay. This one about gay people,
coke,
that's not good.
Snorting coke off your Johnson.
Yeah, this photo of you holding a semi-automatic rifle while smoking a doob, let's delete that one.
Yeah, and let's take the KKK one down as well.
Right, let's take the KKK one down, Josh, or whomever. But this should be, this is a failure of his people just as much of it as a failure
of
him.
I agree with that. I agree.
Because, in my opinion.
Right, and you want to talk about marketing players.
Right.
You know, that should be part of the, you know, I remember, you know, going back, I mean, tons of stories back in the 70s and 80s about the transition, especially as more and more Latin players came into the game and helping them acclimate and what could baseball be doing better? And even
right.
when you had a lot of the Asian players coming over, what could we be doing better to help them assimilate into the game? Well, now this is part of the game, you know, the
yeah, and they need to
aspect.
Help the white bigots assimilate into the game better.
They do. But one of the things that was, and he was obviously caught off guard by this, and apparently I read about it, but I didn't see the clip of he was interviewed, grilled for 4 or 5 minutes and was extremely uncomfortable, but, you know, stood up for, you know, in like a man, a 24-year-old man, and took it like a man and apologized and said, you know, I have to be a better person.
Yeah.
But the hard part was, is, you know, imagine going to watch your son or family member or good friend and you're wearing his All-Star jersey and you basically can't.
Right.
Because when this started popping, they had to change their jerseys because so that people wouldn't start ripping on them during the game. Because this,
right.
You know, this all blew up during the game.
Right.
And that's just unfortunate that you're.
And
you're
imagine
there.
If you were like a gay black guy. Wearing that jersey, just how like how
right.
torn like, apart oh, you would
man,
be.
What do I do now? He's my favorite player.
He's so good, though.
Yeah, dominant. Well,
it does sound like he's standing. He's you know taking responsibility and all that stuff. But yeah, quite the brouhaha and so awfully timed.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like maybe that was the perfect timing. You know,
no, it was
like,
absolutely. Well, I think it would made it. I mean, for his sake, if it happened during the regular season, it wouldn't have been a bigger as big of a story because of the stage
right.
it was on. But that, I think, exactly what you were talking about. This will create an entire cottage industry within
right.
baseball and sports, maybe to clean up images before they you know sign the big contracts.
You know,
drafted.
John, this is actually not a bad idea for a service to provide.
Let's get on that.
I wonder if I could contact like a sports agent and be like, hey, now you know what? I got other stuff I'm working on right now. What else is there?
It's a good idea, though.
It is a good idea.
Chase Utley calling it a career.
Yes. Mets fans rejoice.
Right. There was negativity. Didn't they have a negative tweet about that?
Oh, did they? I didn't see that.
I think they did. I think there was something
Perfect.
Negative about that.
Good.
Like a good riddance.
That's how it should
thing.
Be. Look, they have every right to hate him after he. You know, beat up on them for years as part of the Phillies and then also destroyed that one guy's knee sliding into, I mean, one could say into second base, but really it was into left field,
right.
kind of center left.
Yeah, it was the area code. He was in the area yeah. code.
What do you think? Hall of Fame? He's kind of borderline, right?
You know, when you look at the numbers, I was watching one of the MLB Network things and Brian Kenny was talking about he's the top 10 in all of baseball statistically. He's like, you have to consider him as being a Hall of Fame candidate. So I don't know if he's done enough.
It's close.
You know, this is one of those eye test things that when you look at the eye test, you go like, yeah, really? And then you look at the numbers like, yeah, maybe. He's not one of those, you know, like slam dunks he's in.
Right.
So will he get in? He may get in on his last ballot.
Might not get in on personality, though.
No. No, he hasn't made a lot of friends.
Right. Well, we'll see.
I don't know this Frank Thomas story.
Yes.
What's up with Frank Thomas?
I guess as part of the All-Star festivities, taking a break from his, what's that product line he's selling on GNC?
Oh, that
GNC?
Megagenix or whatever.
Megagenix.
Something like
by
that.
By the way, Nugenix, right? Which, by the way, I feel very uncomfortable with a African-American person working for a Nugenics company. How is no one thinking that this is a terrible, terrible idea? This is an awful. You can't associate an African-American with eugenics.
Right. But the worst part about it, though, is the come on in the ads. The way he looks at the girls and goes like, and your man's going to love it, too.
Yeah.
And with that kind of like.
Very strange.
Yeah.
So anyway, he says he was the most hurt because of the MLB steroid area that, I mean, obviously a cheap joke. Oh, that's why he was called the Big Hurt. Mm-hmm. I guess the Big Hurt was on the inside. So. Oh.
That hurts.
But he was saying because he was clean, meanwhile he's pimping Nugenix.
Right.
Like, yeah, you weren't trying anything, Frank, but yet you're willing to hawk this experimental thing. All right, buddy. Yeah,
I would also
you
say
were just
that
gigantic
he was,
that way.
He was head and shoulders above everybody else in the power department anyway. So what, he was just going to hit his home runs further?
Well, he was going to recover from injury.
Oh, okay.
I mean, his name was the Big Hurt, John. If he had HGH, maybe it just would have been like the big throbbing sensation or the big pain.
The big comfort.
Or like the passing discomfort. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, right.
Now batting, Frank. That's just passing discomfort, Thomas.
The thing about that, though, it's just like I still want to be relevant, so I'm going to insert, you know, really? That's not even necessary.
Look, you're in the limelight, man. You can't just step out of the limelight.
I guess it's hard. It's been a while, though.
Yeah.
It's not like he just retired. It's been a while.
Hell of a ball player, though, man.
Yeah.
On base, like a MF-er and home runs and just a great player.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, a really, really nice guy. Maybe a little too sensitive, though, it turns out.
Yeah, could be. Funny. So how about Shinsu Chu, after he avoided Chris Sale, keeping his streak going?
50 games, right?
Yeah.
Now, the record is DiMaggio, right? DiMaggio is part of his 55-hit streak. Mm-hmm. Had something like a 70-something.
That's crazy.
On base streak.
So that's the record.
And that's the record. He could do it. Chu's got a good eye. He bats first, right? Mm-hmm. So that means he's going to get one more at bat, like every couple games, right? That's the math on it. And he could actually, he's got the eye, the contact ability.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see if he gets traded, though. It's such a rough thing to basically trade for a DH or a bad position. Plus, he's got so much money left on his deal. Another one of those Boris extravaganzas. Like, what could possibly go wrong?
Nothing for me. I got my 10%.
Exactly. Ka-ching. I think they get less than that, though, for the record, John.
Do they?
Sports agents get less than...
because contracts are so large right now?
Right.
Yeah, big numbers, definitely.
Yeah. I think it's 6%. I think that's the number that I saw.
Still big.
No, it's still an insane amount of money.
So, big news with Kate. I know you're a huge Kate Upton fan.
Yes.
So this.
I know you are. You're not. You have the same opinion about. You have no opinion either way, right? You're kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's she announced it though, right?
Yes.
On social media that I think maybe the spin rate helped get her pregnant.
Uh oh.
Verlander's increased spin rate. The Astros got something.
They're
going to
have a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think
or as the liberals would say, they're having a clump of cells. It's awful. Yeah, so they're going to have a baby. And so I guess now she'll be eating for four. Because it's her and the baby and then the twins.
That you would know. Be five then, right?
What?
Because Justin will be also.
That is gross, John. Lactating jokes. You know what? No wonder our listenership went down. Maybe it wasn't the URL issue that we thought it was. Maybe it's you making lactating jokes.
So, yeah, let's get back completely distracted right now. So, is there any more on Kate Upton?
I wish. I wish.
Well, there's enough to go around.
It does seem like there's an abundance of Kate Upton.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin Pillar on the 10-day disabled list with, I don't even know what this is.
With what, John?
A right sternoclavicular joint sprain. What the heck is that?
First of all, the only reason why I put it on there is just to hear you read it. Second of all, he made an incredible catch against the Red Sox, but kind of sprained his collarbone joint, which I didn't know there was a joint there, but I guess it makes sense that there's some connective thing going on between the rib cage and the collarbone. And that's the sternoclavicular joint.
Nice.
Yeah.
They did a first half review of Amazing Plays.
Yeah.
And he had an unbelievable catch over the fence that I hadn't seen. Robbing a home run. And this one was maybe one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because of the way that he timed it. He looks to find the wall. Right,
and then
seconds,
he climbs up on the
climbs
wall.
Climbs up the wall. That is unbelievable timing. It was an incredible catch. And then they had that was the number two catch. And then they had one for the Milwaukee center fielder. I'm like, how is that number one?
Right.
The Pilar's catch was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he's great. He is Superman for sure out there.
But he is out for 6 weeks with a sternoclavicular joint sprain.
Yeah, he and Billy Hamilton.
I like saying it too, man. I like saying it. I like hearing you say it.
Yeah, sternoclavicular.
Yeah.
Sternoclavicular joint sprain.
I was playing football once. I was playing flag football once, and we had a friend come out and play. He wasn't very good. And I used to play quarterback. So what I do is I make sure everyone gets in on the, everyone gets their action, everyone gets their touchdowns. I want to make sure everyone has a good time, as a quarterback should, right?
Right.
I get this guy going on a crossing pattern, boom, wide open. Because I guess the other team was just like, this guy's not going to catch anything. He catches it. He's wide open, whole field in front of him. He starts celebrating maybe 30 yards out of the end zone, like so far away, right? Trips on his own feet, lands on his left shoulder, breaks his collarbone.
Oh, wow.
And he's laying there in agony, right? And I come over and he goes, I think it's my my shoulder. And I could kind of see his collarbone looked a little messed up. And I touched it had broken clean.
Oof.
And it wasn't a compound fracture, but the bone had broken clean. I touched the collarbone and I said, no, it's your collarbone.
Wow.
It was pretty great.
So, time for starting nine.
Let's do it.
For Mission Impossible coming up next week.
What's this, five or six?
I don't know. One, two, three, five?
Six.
Six? Is it really
six? No, it's
six
because it's... Three was Mission Impossible 3, and then there was Ghost Protocol and then Rogue Nation.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, this
last
one
two
is...
two were really good. I'm hoping this one...
Fallout.
Trailer looks great.
Looks like a rip-roaring action-adventure. All right, so we're doing...
nine players
with
Tom Cruise film names.
That's right.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to this one.
You ready to do this one?
Yeah.
Mike Minor Itty Report.
Good.
Pedro Strope Gun.
That's
Top
good.
Gun, Got almost. It. Knight and Darren O'Day.
Good.
Now, by the way, Night and Day, one of my favorite Tom Cruise films, actually.
I thought that was good. It got ripped.
Yeah, the first half of that film is like a perfect action comedy film.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually watched the first half of that film a dozen times.
Yeah, I really thought it was good. I was surprised when I saw it, how bad it had been reviewed. I thought it was funny.
Well...
good chemistry between those two as well.
Yeah, really good. Really good. She's amazing in that film.
Yeah, she's good.
She's Cameron Diaz, amazing in that film. All right, next one is A Few Nico Good Rum Men. Nico Goodrum. For those of you who don't know the Detroit Tigers new young utility guy, Nico Goodrum. A Few Nico Goodrum Men. Robbie Rain Man.
Nice.
Okay, Rain Man. Everyone knows Rain Man.
Right.
Edge of Brandon Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow.
Who just went on the DL.
Who just went on the DL and will be replaced by Pedro Strope Gun. Great film. Maybe my favorite Tom Cruise film is Edge of Tomorrow.
That's great.
I think that's one of the best action sci-fis.
Poorly marketed.
Maybe.
Totally missed.
Poorly. Terribly titled.
Yeah. Yeah.
They marketed. When it went to DVD and streaming, they tried to change the packaging to Live, Die, Repeat, which I think would have been a much better title.
Yeah.
So they kind of led with the slogan or the tagline.
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow.
It's great. Ooh. Great film. Great action film.
Yeah. Next one, Mission Impossible. Anibal Sanchez.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
That's good.
Jerris Maguire, Familia.
Very good.
Benzobristy Business.
Oh, that's hurting my mouth.
Born on the 4th of Julio Tehran.
Born on the 4th of Julio. Yeah. Oh, man, you're killing me.
Jose Inter Altuve with the Vampire.
Oh, my God. This is so painful. Funny. Oh, God, you're killing me. I think these are the best ever.
And last but not least, underrated film. Or widely misunderstood, or whatever. Rizel Wide Shut Iglesias.
Oh, gosh. Another great film.
I think I've mentioned this before, but I actually saw that film as part of like a with the press. Because I knew some of the people on the production of it. And so I watched the press screening. And I watched it two screenings in a row. I just, when it was over, I just asked if I could stick around and watch again. I watch it two times in a row.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece in filmmaking for sure.
It is a deep, it's disturbing at times, of course, but it's a complex thing. Also, I'm fascinated by the orgy scenes, but just how they handled it for America, where they special effects putting people in front of the sex acts and stuff.
That's pretty amazing.
Fascinated by that.
Yeah. So that was Starting Nine. I think that ranks up there with, that's a definitely a top five Starting Nine for sure.
Oh, thank you.
It was good stuff.
That one was fun.
It was really good. So Around the Horn.
Let's do it.
Better or worse in the second half. This should be fun to do because it's pretty black and white with a few exceptions.
Yes.
So Braves.
Braves, I think, will be as good. And I think that means a little bit worse.
Right. They've trended, I think, a little bit more towards the mean.
Yes.
But they're still, it's wide open.
Yeah, they're still in the hunt. I'm not saying, I just don't think they will be as hot as they were in the first half.
Let's jump to the Phillies. Do the Phillies continue? They were hot towards the end.
Right. I think that they cool a little, but still, I think they can stay in it. I think if they make a move, that's a team that... Like, if I was the Phillies, they were in on the Manny Machado stuff. And if I were them, they're kind of stuck because what they really need is a productive shortstop. Mm-hmm. They don't really have that. So what do they do? Tough situation. Outfield's kind of jammed up. They could probably use a reliever, but is adding a reliever really going
to
move the needle on this team?
They need a couple pieces. They're not quite there. But, I mean, nobody... So the Mets completely imploding the way they have. The Nationals being
I don't think they'll be worse, but they will be, they'll be a bad team. They'll be better than they were in May, but not anywhere near as good as they were in April.
Well, I think what changes the dynamic of that division is if the Nationals sell.
Right.
That will create a huge... I think that will create a very interesting run between two teams that you never would have thought in the beginning of the year were going to be battling for the division.
Right, because it looked like a cakewalk for the Nationals.
Right.
They were going to be able to play the Marlins. The Mets looked like they might be scrappy. And then, of course, when the season started, they were scrappy.
11-1.
And then they just turned into crappy. They dropped the S. That's the new Mets slogan. Drop the S. We went from scrappy to crappy in 1 month. But injuries, man, if you don't have the depth, injuries.
Yeah.
That's why you never count out a team like the Dodgers, because, they have They just have the depth. It's like, oh, yeah. This person's injured. Oh, here comes Ross Stripling. Okay, this person's injured. Okay, here comes Walker
Buehler. Yeah, and when they all come back around, they surge. And they've been amazing. Right. After their first 40 games, they weren't too good. And after that, the next 45 games, they were one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah.
How about the Nationals?
I think they'll be better. But, of course, if they sell, then they'll be worse. But I think they will be better than they were in the first half.
The Mets?
And we say half, but we're already 60% through the season.
Right.
Screwy all-star thing.
How about the Mets?
Mets will be worse. Like, I think it's just a death spiral now. And why bother? Why not just, like, see if you can try out some players, see if you can trade off some assets. They're going to probably get rid of Familia, you know, make him a setup guy somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, close your eyes at that. Hide your eyes with the three monkeys, right? Monkey see.
Right.
The seeing, the hearing, the
talking,
the looking at that bullpen.
Right.
Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I just say the seeing, the hearing, the looking?
Yes.
Whew. My coffee wore off, John.
Okay. How about the Marlins?
Yeah. No, they're going to be awful. They actually started to look a little feisty there, but they'll tail off.
They're 21-18 in their last, 40 games.
So they'll definitely be worse.
Okay, Red Sox. I don't know how you can get much better.
You can't get better, right? So maybe it's just like, are they going to keep it up? Yes.
Yeah, there's same.
I think they'll trade for like a Rysell Iglesias or a Rysell wide shut Iglesias or a Strope gun.
Right. Yes, Red Sox and the Yankees is more of the same.
Yeah. Yankees, same thing. I think. Yeah. I mean, they're looking for a starting pitcher. So, what are they going to get? Like Jay Happ?
Yeah, here's one of those things. You look at the two best teams in baseball are in the same division.
Yeah.
And one of them is going to play a one and done game.
So crazy.
Yeah. How about the Blue Jays?
Worse. I think it's going to be a tailspin for them. And Donaldson's going to come back, but like, is he going to come back in time for them to be able to show that he's healthy and trade him and get anything in return? Remember, his second half last year was like lights out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, he's got something to play for.
Yeah,
for sure. Money.
Yeah, money. But remember, he was like, he was almost back, and then it was like, oh no, he's going to be out for another month.
Another month, right? How about the Orioles?
Worse.
Yeah.
And if they're lucky, they'll just get worse and worse. Like, just own it. Like, you're a rebuilding team.
Yeah.
Have giveaways at the park. Give away your players.
They're going to move more pieces before the deadline. How about the Rays?
I think the Rays will be a little bit better.
They'll probably be a little bit better just because the Orioles are going to be even worse.
Right. That's going to be part of it.
Gain a little bit there.
Yeah.
How about the Pirates?
The Pirates will be a little bit worse.
They won six in a row going in, five against the Brewers.
Yeah.
And had some tremendous luck during that five-game sweep.
Yeah.
You know, are they sellers? Should they be sellers? Are they really?
I don't know if they really have anything to sell at this point. So
I just think they're being a little bit too presumptuous and positive going, into the break because of the streak.
Well, the Brewers didn't help that problem they're having. The 5-game sweep was
that doesn't happen. Last time it happened,
you rarely
Yankees,
see the five games
swept the Red Sox back in 2011 or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like, oh wait, what? Wait, oh well, at least they're going to win the last game because no one ever gets swept out of five games.
Right?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Cardinals probably have to be better after.
I think that Cardinals Matheny will be better. I think getting rid of Matheny, though, it doesn't look like the new manager is necessarily like of a completely different mindset. He's the bench coach for Matheny.
Right.
So it's not like
they
brought in someone who's going to like Gabe Kapler the situation and be like, all right, so you used to play shortstop. Now you're the catcher. You used to play catcher. Now you're the pitcher. Gabe Kapler. I love it. Mix it up, man.
How about the Cubs?
The Cubs will be better. I don't know if you saw the game last night, but the offense is starting to click.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Martinez, who's a very good pitcher, was shutting them out for four innings or so, or one run ball for four innings. And then the offense just clicked. Boom, boom, boom. Ian Happ with a home run kind of knocked the game out of and even with Brandon Morrow injured, I think their bullpen is deep enough. But don't be surprised if they go and trade for like Zach Britton to become their actual closer.
Yeah, they're going to be definitely moving pieces. for sure.
Yeah, and with Morrow's injuries and sort of the limited financial commitment they made to him, I think they can get away with bringing Britton in and just saying, Morrow, you're the setup guy again. Mm-hmm. Get over it.
Mm-hmm. As long as he's back and pitching and has a chance to go to the World Series, yeah, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Brewers.
Can they be better? I mean, I guess they kind of tailed off there at the end, but they've been a very lucky team. Like, they have a winning record, but their run differential hasn't been that great.
No, they're
and the offense that was supposed to be, you know, top five offense, it just hasn't been there. It's so weird.
So maybe they turn it on. I don't know. We'll see. That division's,
I think,
total,
they'll be better.
I think if the Cubs don't run away with it, it's going to be a three-team race.
Yeah.
And the Reds have gotten much better. They've been playing well.
Yeah, they have been playing well, but they will be even worse.
Okay.
Because, again, they're going to trade off a couple pieces. Right. That always makes a team worse. Matt it's Harvey. Underrated how much that Matt Harvey, yes.
They're going to drop like a rock. Okay, let's switch over to the AL West Astros.
I think they'll be a little bit better. I think they're going to get Kyle Tucker hitting, and then their offense has been not as awesome as it could be, and I think the awesomeness will intensify.
When is Correa back?
Any day. He might miss the first six games, but he's playing baseball now.
Okay. So, yeah, they'll get better just
there
alone. Angels.
Worse.
Trading? Selling?
I don't know if they're going to – I don't think they'll trade. I think they're going to do the Pirates, like, well, actually, we still kind of have a chance if we really have things go our way. And they don't really have much to trade, so what are you going to do?
And what we were saying before is, unless the Mariners implode, this is done. But the Mariners are imploding,
right? But they'll right that ship. They have all the right pieces, and what's his name comes back in just a few weeks now, right? Cano,
August.
And he's going to be playing first and DH. Yeah. That's the new plan.
Yeah, because they're not going to disrupt the chemistry at second and short.
Or that will not be the way they do it.
It's going to be interesting to see if DePoto makes another trade.
Right.
With, you know, who knows what. There's nothing there. The cupboards are bare. I don't know what he can do. So they're kind of going all in. And if things don't work out, they're going to be a mess next year.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be a mess next year anyway. But, yeah, for sure.
The A's, the surging A's.
It would be cool if the Mariners in the offseason signed, like a big-name
Mike Trout, or not Mike Trout, Bryce Harper.
But like a Bryce, like bring in someone who, like a big name guy. I mean, I know they did that with Cano, whatever, but just like, because they don't have the farm system for it. So just
spend
go out and buy there. There must be some good starting pitching out there,
they
right?
They need pitching, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That will be their biggest need.
Kershaw, I think, is going to wind up re-signing with the Dodgers, but they'll go through the whole dance, you know?
Mariners sign Kershaw. That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome.
So Mariners, their regress, better, same?
I think they're going to be a little bit better. And by better, I mean better than they've been of late. Right. And sort of like as good as they've been. I think what they did at the first half was real, and I think they can maintain it.
Okay. Padres.
And Rangers worse, and Athletics. Oh. I think the Athletics will be a little bit worse.
I skipped right over the Rangers.
Yeah. No, totally understandable. No offense, Texas Rangers fans. Stop crying. It's okay.
Okay. We need to whip through the rest.
Padres worse. Dodgers better. Much better. Giants worse. Rockies better.
Yeah, they could squeak in there.
D-backs, I think, will be about the same.
Yeah, their offense has to be better, though. Has to be.
Yeah.
You think.
But even with Pollock back, though, it's still like a really weak.
But, you know, like we've seen in years past, though, after the break, some team gets hot. Some team's going to rip off 15 wins.
The Tigers? Just kidding. Sorry, Tigers fans. Sorry, Detroit people.
Yeah, so there's only – everybody else in this division is worse. But the Indians will be better. They have to be because the four other teams are worse.
Right. Plus, they handled their huge problem in their bullpen with that Brad Hand. And also, they got Adam Simber, too. It wasn't like they just got Brad Hand. They got Adam Simber, which is a – solid right-handed guy too. So, but the Twins will be worse. The Tigers will be worse. The White Sox can't be worse, so they'll just be the same way. And the Royals can't be worse; they'll just be the same way.
I think those teams could get worse. Actually, I really do. I think that the Royals probably not, but the White Sox played a little bit higher than what I thought they were going to do. The Twins,
but not over at first base, Abreu.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can't be as bad in the second half as he was in the first half. But look for him to go on like a, you know, hitting 350 the rest of the year for 17 home runs or whatever.
Hopefully that starts in the next 2 weeks and then I can get rid of him.
Oh, for your fantasy baseball team, yes.
So I'm going to want him. Okay, that wraps around the horn.
Yep.
Let's go on to extra innings. Take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball. So did you watch the World Cup?
No.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
I think I glanced at halftime and saw what the score was and then
finally. Do they have a halftime in soccer?
They do, yeah.
Okay.
They have to rest up.
No, France won.
France won, 4-2.
Yeah, France won.
Yeah.
Without the assistance of the allies.
They did it all by themselves. Yeah, and then they also had who are the odds on favorites to win in 2022. Brazil is the. I'm like, really? How can you know that? It's 4 years from now.
I don't know.
It's nuts.
Yeah, but I think Brazil is a safe bet always, right? Haven't they won the most?
Yeah, you know, all of the Latin teams got knocked out.
Yeah.
Didn't even make it to the semifinal round. So that was.
Yeah, Russian meddling, if you ask me.
Right. Doping. Icarus.
Yes.
Let's see what else we got here. Kawhi Leonard traded to Toronto, of all places.
Yes. Kawhi Leonard is like, hey, Spurs, please trade me to Los Angeles. I want to play for the Lakers. That's what I want. I want to be in sunny Los Angeles. And they said, okay, Kawhi, we're going to trade you to Toronto.
Right. And that was, they didn't get anything in return, really.
Well, they got DeMar DeRozan. That's a solid player.
Is that enough, though?
In this day and age in the NBA for 1 year of a guy?
Well, I think it's because demand was, I mean, I shouldn't say demand, it's that demand was there, but there was, the leverage was gone.
Right.
You know, LeBron's like, yeah, I'll sign 4 years. If it was a 1 year deal, you would have been bet that they would have done something then. But he signed a 4 year deal. Yeah, Kawhi will be here next year. Well, no worries.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Also, who knows how long Kawhi stays with Toronto? Like,
well, Toronto is, you know, of course, taking the path that we're going to re-sign him. He's going to want to play here.
Sure.
So we'll see about that, because he initially said, Leonard said that he
they're
going to
win
go.
Win over his heart.
Well, originally he's like, I don't want to go anywhere but L.A. So trade me to L.A. or nothing.
Of course, it happened to Paul George, right? And then he wound up re-signing with
Okay.
What, Oklahoma? Yeah. Was it Oklahoma City Oklahoma City? Like, he actually chose to live in Oklahoma City.
Unbelievable. Durant was like, "I'm out, man. Get me out of here."
That's wild.
Yeah, to go from Seattle to Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
that's a huge culture shock.
I'm gonna live in Oklahoma City. Paul George decides this is what I'm gonna do. I don't even want to give the people in Los Angeles an interview. Weird.
Comic-Con.
Okay, so normally I don't really care about Comic-Con.
Did you
go? I did not go, but my project went and was featured at one of the, seminars. What do they call them there? Roundtables, panels.
And you weren't there?
I was not there. My writing partner, the guy who created the show with me, he went. But I'm in New York, so I would have had to fly all the way to San Diego. And I just was kind of like, it wasn't enough. It wasn't, if the show was in production, I would have done it.
Or if they paid your way?
No, I mean, that we were talking about that, so that wasn't really, that wasn't the issue. It was just like, just to fly in and then do a panel and fly out, and when it's in development, it just didn't seem like a good use of my time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very exciting to have, you know, to see photos posted on the webs and stuff of me, of my project. And it's kind of cool.
So but you did go to an event in San Diego.
I went to WonderCon. I went to WonderCon in Anaheim when I was in Los Angeles. Yeah. That was great. We did a whole panel up there with the production company that is developing our show. So
sweet. And do you want to throw out the name, or is that still under wraps?
Well, the production company is Legion M, which is a very interesting company in that it is funded entirely by public investors.
Oh.
Like regular Joes that just want to be involved in. Yeah.
Wow.
Like it's a cool company. It's the investment restrictions and guidelines were altered a few years back, and this is like the first production company that is funded by regular Joes. And so it's got like thousands of investors, you know, who invest anywhere from like $100 to thousands of dollars.
Cool.
And yeah, they're, right now they're sort of like piggybacking a couple projects. They got a new Nicolas Cage film, Mandy, coming out.
Oh, that's what, every month there's a new Nicolas Cage film coming out?
Right. No, this one is actually one that's going to be theatrically released.
It's not going straight to video. Wow.
It's not going straight to video, yeah. And it actually looks like a hell of a film. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So he's going to make some
Which
coin.
Can't be said of most Nicolas Cage films.
No. So the last thing on our list for this week is Mark Wahlberg buys a car dealership.
Yeah, I want to put some good news out there, you know. I just thought we've been talking about all this stuff, and it's not necessarily positive, but like here's like a real positive thing. Mark Wahlberg out there trying to make a dollar and a cent. Buys a car dealership. You can just see, like, to me, like, I want to write all the advertising for this company. Like, come on, come on. Feel the vibrations.
Is it a power
feel it,
car?
Feel it. Yeah, he's like, it's Marky High Mark end. And the,
right,
the funky bunch of car salesmen. Come on down. Feel it.
That's awesome. What's coming up next?
Find out if all that glitters is gold and if only shooting stars break the mold on the next episode of Hey Now, You're an All-Star.